From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In today's news headlines, on the third day of public impeachment hearings, former White House advisor Fiona Hill testified on Thursday morning. It was the third consecutive day of witness questioning this week alone. In her opening remarks, Hill denounced one of the Republican Party's main conspiracy theories used to justify President Donald Trump's actions, that Ukraine was somehow involved in the 2016 election interference rather than Russia.
Questions and statements I've heard, some of you on this committee appear to believe that Russia and its security services did not conduct a campaign against our country, and that perhaps, somehow, for some reason, Ukraine did. This is a fictional narrative that has been perpetrated and propagated by the Russian security services themselves. The unfortunate truth is that Russia was the foreign power that systematically attacked our democratic institutions in 2016. This is the public conclusion of our intelligence agencies, confirmed in bipartisan congressional reports. It is beyond dispute.
That's Fiona Hill, former White House advisor on Russia, in her opening remarks. Also testifying on Thursday was David Holmes, a U.S. Embassy staffer in Ukraine, who overheard a phone call from Trump to the U.S.'s EU ambassador, Gordon Sondland, confirming a quid pro quo. On Wednesday afternoon, after lengthy testimony from Sondland, two other government officials had testified, Laura Cooper of the Defense Department and David Hale from the State Department, who spoke to lawmakers about the U.S. military aid that was being withheld from Ukraine. After Cooper and Hale testified, House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff delivered a powerful closing address, making the case for Trump's impeachable conduct.
And let's look at the president's words on that phone call, that infamous phone call on July 25th. Does he ask President Zelensky, how's that reform coming in the RADA? What are you doing to root out corruption? What about that new anti-corruption court? Of course not. Of course not. Are we really to believe that was his priority? No. What does he ask? I want you to do us a favor. Investigate this crazy 2016 server conspiracy, that the server's somewhere in Ukraine. And more ominously, investigate the Bidens. That's not anti-corruption. That is corruption. And the next day, when he's on the phone to Ambassador Sondland in that outdoor restaurant in Kiev, what does he want to know about? Does he want to know how Zelensky is going to fight corruption? Of course not. The only thing he brings up in that call is the investigation he wants into the Bidens. That's not anti-corruption. That is corruption. And it was a conversation that Ambassador Volker related in his testimony. When he's talking to Andrei Yermak, top advisor to President Zelensky, you may not want to go through with an investigation or prosecution of former President Poroshenko. Engaging in political investigations is really not a good idea. And you know what Yermak says? Oh, you mean like you want us to do of the Bidens and the Clintons?
That's House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff on Wednesday evening after a lengthy series of testimonies. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, in her Thursday morning press conference, had harsh words for Trump.
First order of business, take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And when we see a violation of the Constitution, we have no choice but to act. And the evidence is clear that the president, has used his office for his own personal gain, and in doing so, undermined the national security of the United States by withholding military assistance to the Ukraine to the benefit of the Russians, that he has undermined the integrity of our elections by what he has done, again, the Russian interference being ignored by him.
That's House Speaker Pelosi. Trump, enraged over the public scrutiny of his misconduct, resorted to name-calling once more, calling Democrats human scum on Twitter. On Wednesday night, yet another debate between the top 10 Democratic Party presidential candidates took place on a stage in Atlanta. Overall assessments of the debate were that candidates spent more time criticizing Trump than one another. Race emerged as an important issue, with former Vice President Joe Biden confidently touting his support in the black community. Senator Bernie Sanders made news for demanding that Palestinians be treated with dignity, while Representative Tulsi Gabbard came under fire for her visit with Syria's brutal dictator Bashar al-Assad. A federal judge has temporarily stopped the first federal execution in years from moving forward in a rebuke to Attorney General William Barr. Barr earlier this year announced that the federal government would resume executions on December 9th. But U.S. District Judge Tanya S. Chutkan ruled in favor of plaintiffs challenging that resumption. An immigrant rights activist named Scott Warren has been acquitted of all charges in a highly publicized case of Americans being criminalized for helping undocumented immigrants. Warren was arrested for offering shelter to two immigrants at a camp in Arizona as part of his work with the humanitarian group No More Deaths. In other immigration news, the state of Nebraska has just become the first to comply with the Trump administration's demand to share driver's license data with the federal government in an effort to identify undocumented immigrants. Trump had signed a rule requiring such data to be used to draw up voting district lines after a citizenship question on the U.S. Census was ruled out. And more than 100 Democrats have called for the resignation of White House advisor Stephen Miller, whose white supremacist views were recently confirmed through leaked emails. Activists around the country this Wednesday marked the Transgender Day of Remembrance to commemorate the lives of transgender people who have been victimized and killed. In New York, about 100 people participated in a vigil for 22 black transgender women who were killed this year alone. Globally, that number is 311. In other news, the Senate Indian Affairs Committee on Wednesday passed two bills to address the hundreds of missing or murdered Indigenous women in the U.S. For decades, Native American communities have been demanding federal legislation to address this epidemic of misogynist violence. The gun control organization Everytown has released a damning new report this week, finding that the vast majority of children who die from gun violence are attacked in their own homes as victims of domestic violence, rather than in school shootings. About 75% of children are killed in their own homes. Overall, a whopping two-thirds of all mass shootings happen in the home. Chinese officials have invited Trump administration officials for face-to-face trade talks in Beijing to try to break through a stalemate before the U.S.'s Thanksgiving holiday. It's not clear if the White House will accept. Trump earlier this week said that China was not stepping up to its responsibility after a year of negotiations have gone nowhere. And in international news, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been indicted on charges of corruption, bribery, and fraud, throwing the longtime incumbent leader's political future into question. It is the first time in Israel that a sitting prime minister has been charged in this manner. The New York Times summarized that the charges stem from, quote, allegations of giving or offering lucrative official favors to several media tycoons in exchange for favorable news coverage or gifts worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.